Hi guys, it's Eric RPG and I've got another review for you today, and this time it is for The Legend of Heroes Trails into Reverie. And this is the game that finally puts an end of nearly 20 years of Trails game's storyline before it could start off the next major story arc following the Cold Steel series. And it's as much an epilogue series for a Cold Steel as it is for Trails into Zero and from Zero and into Azure, because neither of those games has a proper epilogue, and the reason for that is because their stories are so intertwined, especially when it comes to Azure and Cold Steel, because Azure takes place several months before the events of the fourth chapter or so of the first Cold Steel, and it ends around the same time frame as the second Cold Steel, and then there's the 2-year time skip that goes in Cold Steel 3 and 4, and because of the events that happened at the end of Cold Steel 2, there's some stuff that happened, and this is a resolution to that stuff, as well as the stuff that went on in Cold Steel 3 and 4. So, it wraps up all the storyline into a nice bow, so we can finally get into a new setting with a new, fresh new batch of characters. And even though Kurono Kiseki still diving in the well of the Cold Steel characters, since a lot of them show up there in different capacities, they won't have the presence that they did in the Cold Steel game. They're just there for window dressing, like every other Trails game. But to get on the moving on with the basic plot of the game without spoiling anything, it does have some kind of social commentary regarding the time. So I think its release of July 7th, yeah, it missed the missed releasing before Independence Day, because the game starts off with the re-independence of Crossbell. But then something bad happens, and then they kind of have to do it again, and they have to figure out what's going on before they can do that. But, to that end, this game does something a little bit different than previous Trails games, where you have to play from the perspective of three different groups, mainly the protagonist from Cold Steel series and the protagonist from the Zero and Azure games. And then the third new characters group, who's just known as C, who I can only reference as C, because revealing who they actually are is a spoiler, and no, it's not who you think it is based on the name, if you're familiar with the Cold Steel games. Although they do borrow a bit of theatrics from that character. They are a different character. But the game kind of pretty much spells it out for you, despite the voice modulation that's going on. This guy's their voice. You can tell who it is. But, also, it's the only way it logically makes sense that the person who's behind the mask is the actual person instead of the person who is responsible for the reoccupation of Crocsville. Let's just put it that way. I think I dodged a landmine or two there. So, the gameplay hasn't really changed that much. It still has all of the bells and whistles that were introduced in Cold Steel 4, and largely is using that same combat engine. The only new mechanic that it actually introduced, which is kind of interesting that they'd actually introduce a new mechanic to the series when this is the last traditional turn-based Cold Steel, or rather, Trails game, period. Because Kurono Kiseki has a weird hybridization thing going on, where you can either choose to play in more traditional turn-based combat, or you can play in a more East-like combat system. And while I can't wait to dive into that series, who knows when It's probably going to be sometime in 2024. Hopefully it's earlier rather than later that year. But, so, yeah, it's weird that they introduced yet a new mechanic. But it's really just a refinement of what they had before with the whole order system. It's kind of like doing your separate orders, but gives you a little extra edge in battle. They're called United Fronts, and you need to have, like, at least 5 embers alive in your party. That means all 4 who are in your active party, plus at least 1 more who's in your support group that you could swap characters to and from battle with. And that'll let you do the United Fronts, and you could do a United Front art attack, or you could do a physical attack strike. And the more characters you have active that aren't dead in those support slots, the more damage you'll do for those. Or you could do a healing based one, but like regardless of which one you pick, you get like 2 brave points for each use of it, and it uses the assault gauge, which was introduced in Cold Steel 3, which is the thing that lets you do a triple advantage attack on your enemies instead of just whacking them at the backside of the head and then running into them while you're stunned on the screen. Because that's how you used to do it. But, and the only way to recharge them is to destroy the destructible objects in the background that can sometimes give you, like, random knickknacks, like, basically basic healing items and new materials which are used to upgrade your weapons and buy other things in the storefronts in the game. But, like I said, since you're switching between 3 different character perspectives, you don't have much of an opportunity to talk to you're not traveling through towns because you're basically fugitives. So the game has this thing called the Reverie Corridor. So if you've played Trails in the Sky, the 3rd, those characters are stuck in something called the Recluse Cube. But now you're in this thing that's much like it called the Reverie Corridor. It even has the same initials. And that's very much intentional, because it's basically the same kind of setup. The only difference is, unlike Trails in the Sky out there, you're not stuck in it the entire time, and it doesn't basically devolve the game into a complete dungeon crawler, where you're going through different areas and then experiencing story beats based on those areas that you're exploring. Instead, it's just kind of like the way that the old schoolhouses dungeons worked, and especially the epilogue of Cold Steel 2, where you're going through randomly generated dungeons and have to fight certain things in order to advance through the depths of the dungeon. But you'll be forced to go to the Reverie Corridor at certain points when the plot demands you. And the only real bit of freedom you get to choose is between which of the 3 character perspectives you'll play up until the point it forces you to switch to either a different group or go back in the corridor to do something. And the character roster for this game is the largest the series has ever had. There's at least 52, and that's me going from memory. It might actually be more than that, characters that for you to choose from. And there are situations that you'll need to be using some of them to advance, because the plot will dictate that you have them with you. So going to the corridor to train them up is actually a good thing. And if you don't feel like doing that, because you will get to a point where the enemies just aren't giving you the experience you need to raise them up, the game has these things called Azure Droplets and Azure Divine Droplets, which give you different denominations of experience to let you level them up quickly, so you don't have to fight enemies. So that lets you help skip the grind a little bit. You'll still have to grind for Sephiroth, unfortunately, because Sephiroth maps just by itself will only give you so much, and you still have to choose between buying items and selling your Sephiroth maps to get more items, or using your Sephiroth to unlock more slots for your Master Quartz, for your Ornaments, to have more MP to be able to use more powerful spells. So that's something to consider too. But it's balanced out pretty well. I mean, the experience system is scaled, so if you're fighting higher level enemies, weaker characters will get a lot more, so they'll progress up quickly. The story is basically just a big excuse to have a lot of fan service, and it puts a nice bow on all the unresolved issues regarding certain characters, and a character gets a redemption arc, which you might not think that they deserve, but considering that you learn more about their past and why they are doing the things they are doing, they finally realize how much of a screw-up they are, but also that they need to live for themselves. So, and these, the three new characters that show up in that new group I told you about are the ones that show this other person the value of their own life. So, I guess I can kind of forgive the character for all their transgressions in the past. And I did tear up a little bit at the end. And what, and going back to Trails in the Third and how the game's similar to that, there are these things called trial doors that you, are extra challenges to help you unlock a more powerful version of your S-crafts, or sometimes it's not even an S-craft. Sometimes it's just a normal craft. But, then there's the way of, like, doing these things called daydreams, which are basically just, like, the memory doorways from the third. And they, sometimes they're interactive, otherwise they're just mostly story bits. And while the PS4 version of this game does have some VR support, and you can do some VR stuff with it, if you buy the PS5 version of the game, you won't be able to do that. Because I guess they haven't added PSVR to support for this game, and I don't know if they will. And the strange thing is, if you buy the PS5 version before you buy the PS4 version, you kind of get locked out of the PS4 digital release. So if you still want to play the PS4 version like that, maybe they'll fix that in the future, but currently I can't access it for the PSN store. I don't plan on buying it, but that is kind of annoying if you wanted to view the VR content. You buy the PS5 version digitally. So, yeah, they've got to come up with something for that. Hopefully, maybe the patch, or they'll just, the PSN network will just display the PS4 version for purchase if you want. Because, unfortunately, it's not cross-buy, which is weird, because all the DLC is. But if you're playing on Steam or Switch, or any other digital storefront on the PC, for that matter, there won't obviously be VR support. Maybe they can look into giving the various VR headsets for PC users support, so they can restore some of that functionality. But it depends on how much NIS is willing to support it, and as well as the developers who are responsible for the PS5 port and such. But I wouldn't recommend getting the Switch version unless that's all you had, because obviously the previous releases had performance issues, and why I have watched other reviews of this game for the Switch, because I'm only covering the PS5 version here. But they didn't mention anything about nasty bugs and it being really an experience or anything, so I'm guessing the game's bug-free. It's just the game's actually using more advanced version of the engine that was present in Cold Steel 4. And while Cold Steel 4, 3 and 4 on the Switch played fine enough, even without those technical issues, yeah, you could tell the game's chugging at some spots. And even on the PS5, there were some parts where the game would slow down, so it's not completely optimized. Maybe further patches will help fix this, but I can imagine if it was running poorly in those areas, and the areas that you take for granted on the PS5 version will probably chug even worse during those segments. Even if it's only a few seconds at a time, it'll probably really be noticeable then. But, this review's already pretty long, But I had a lot to say about this game, because there's lots on the pack. But if you're a fan of the series, or just RPGs, I'd highly recommend this game. I'd give it a 9 out of 10. Story wasn't as good as I was hoping, but for it being a transition game from the previous arc to the new one, it does exactly what it needs to do. And if you hadn't played any other games up to this point, at least play Cold Steel and the Crossbell games before getting into this, because it's required viewing and playing. Otherwise, you'll be very, very lost, because that's kind of how the Trails series operates. It builds on top of each other and keeps up a narrative. And that's all I have for you guys today. See you guys later. Bye-bye.